Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, the time now is 17 and a half minutes past 10 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. And inshallah, wa aziz, we commence our program, the question and the answer session. And we'd like to welcome Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas Saab, who is on the line with us. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah for your time, and it's wonderful and great speaking to you again, Mufti Saab. Alhamdulillah. And to the listeners of Radio Islam, inshallah, this is a phone-in program, and you can start calling us on 011-854-1548. And Manana Peter Ali and Brother Muhammad Babulia, inshallah, will type the questions out, and in turn, it will be directed to Mufti Saab. Or alternatively, you can SMS us your questions, and the SMS number is 082-580-8070. I repeat, the SMS number is 082-580-8070. You can start calling us right away. So the first question via SMS that just came through is it permissible to recite Dua Jamila and Khatm Khaja?
These are two different questions. We'll take the Dua Jamila first. That when we look at the Dua and virtues preceding the Dua, unfortunately, that there is no references given to the tremendous virtues given for the Dua Jamila, and virtue upon virtue, and some tremendous mountainous virtues have been stipulated and recorded there, but there is not a reference that we can go and cross-reference it and check it and verify it and testify to it. So it is advisable that not to read it and to read that which is substantiated, prescribed in the Sharia. As far as the Khatm al-Khajaza is concerned, then this Khatm is a recitation of some recitals which have been formulated by the elders. Now, it is not Faraz, it is not Wajib, it is not Sunnah, it is not Nafil as far as jurisprudically concerned, it is not Mustahab, it is a practice of the elders. They say after doing it, dua is accepted. Number one. Secondly, if someone has to do it, then there should be no calling towards it, because it is not substantiated per se. Thirdly, that if someone does not attend, one should not look down upon this, because this is not jurisprudentially proven as an act to be done. And also, one should not deem it and regard it as part and parcel of Sharia. Neither one should regard it as a part of Sunnah or Wajib or Faraz, because this is definitely a formulation, and we should have no force and duress upon calling people or looking or degrading those who don't attend. Those who are to do it should do it involuntarily, and they should do it without any fuss and without any organizational, systematical organizational method of doing it.
All right, JazakAllah. To the listeners, once again, inshallah, we are inviting you to ask the questions. Any doubts, queries you have, concerns you have, you can SMS us your questions, and the SMS number is 082-580-8070, and the telephone number is 011-854-1548. The next question is, Mufti Saab, is it permissible to say Eid Mubarak?
There is a discussion rotating around this word Eid Mubarak. First of all, let us be very, very clear about this, that it was not being said during the time of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that to say Eid Mubarak, etc. However, that if a person does not regard this to be faraz, or does not regard this to be wajib or sunnah, and then they say Eid Mubarak, then according to some of the ulama, they say that it will be permissible. But a person must definitely know that this is not something that is sunnah. If some people regard it to be sunnah or faraz or wajib, then it will be necessary to leave it out. But if certain people just say this word, Eid Mubarak, and they know that this is not part and parcel of Sharia, then certain ulama have said that there is some room for permissibility. However, we must know clearly that it is not recorded in the life of the Sahaba or even in the lives of the less Imams.
Alright, JazakAllah for that explanation. So the next question is via SMS. Assalamu alaikum, respected ulama. Is it permissible for a child to play with dolls, teddy bears, if the eyes are removed?
If, for example, the eyes are removed and so-called the face is disfigured, then it will be permissible. However, we should not spend too much of money on these types of dolls and toys, because unfortunately, certain families and certain homes, honestly speaking, that if we have to calculate the amount of money spent upon futile toys and vain dolls, and also amusements to keep the children happy, then at times one poor family can survive for the entire year. I have seen, unfortunately, that so-called pious people and so-called righteous people spend upon toys, especially when they go to the blessed lands also, that they spend over 10,000 riyals, 12,000 riyals on one item, on toys, and it is highly embarrassing to see them bring these huge boxes to the customs, and they fully well knowing that the child is going to break them, destroy them, and 10,000 riyals sometimes translates into 24,000 rand. And one family can survive the whole year with that money.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. And Mirisab, the brother has a second question. The first one with regards to dolls and teddy bears. And the second question is, why is it more rewarding to fast Mondays and Thursdays?
This is very interesting that ulama ikram have stated, first of all, about the Nawafil fast. And this goes under the section of Nawafil fast, that Monday and Thursday. Monday, they say, ulama ikram state that this was the date wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. Some even say that this was the date or the day of the first revelation. And also some say that both Monday and Thursday, the amal are presented to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and amal are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that he would like to be in the condition of fast.
Alright, JazakAllah. So the next question is from my sister. Salam, is it permissible for a female to read four rakats of Tarawih Salah?
This we have repeatedly asked, four rakats is permissible with one salam, six rakats is permissible with one salam, eight rakats is permissible with one salam, above that it is makruh.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is on SMS. Is it wrong for a woman to change her surname to her husband's when they get married?
It is not wrong to do that.
Alright, JazakAllah. We come to the computer. The first question is, which is, does one have to raise zakat on pension fund, but the fund has been stopped and they won't give him the money? He will only get it when he is 65. Does he have to raise zakat on that amount?
Remember that a asset in Islam is one that you are owner of it, you have got possession of it, you have got control over it, you have got haq tasarruf, right of distribution on it, and you got it for one Islamic lunar year. Now that pension fund, the person is although the owner of it, but does not have control over it, and does not have right of distribution of it. So they do not pay zakat on that. They will have to wait for the payout. And when that payout comes, then they got now the ruling coming in two directions. Some are saying that when it comes, it must be now in your possession for one lunar year, and then you can give zakat on it. Others are saying that if you want to give for the past years, you may do so.
Alright, Jazakallah. Coming back to the SMS questions, the next question is, we had something similar to this on Sunday in Thingy to us. It says, I am married for 15 years, but we have not ever been intimate for 12 years. Am I still in nikah? My husband has remarried in the meantime. What is up, 12 years, not intimate?
The nikah is still valid and the nikah has not broken. However, that the lady concerned should consult those who were the walis in the marriage and those who were the witnesses. You see, these days, that the person who hands over the female and who signs his name on the register, we regard this as a very light thing. And we must realize it is at these times that those people must be called in for arbitration, mediation, discipline, advice, counseling, scolding, and for admonition. So she should call those people and express her problem that for 12 years nothing is happening, and they should address the situation in consultation and in conjunction with the Ulama-i Kiram.
Alright, Jazakallah Mustafa. The next question is, I think we had a similar one with regards to what came on Sunday. She was married for plus minus 14 years and she mentioned that the husband was not intimate for 12 years. The next question is, Mutisab, does a woman have to perform her full 20 rakats of Taraweeh or can she read less? And she says, what are the benefits of reading Taraweeh namaz?
Taraweeh namaz obviously is 20 rakats, and by adhering to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one will definitely be rewarded. The more one acts upon the sunnah, the closer one goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings proximity, brings mercy, boons and favors. And reading the sunnah in the month of Ramadan especially draws the mercy, boons and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should not be neglectful in adhering to the sunnah. We are so fortunate that we are able to practice upon the sunnah and gain all the favors.
Alright, the next question is Mutisam via SMS. Salams Mawlanas, if one zakat is due after a year, let's say in Muharram, is it okay to wait until Ramadan to distribute it? The brother says, I've noticed most people wait for Ramadan. Jazakallah.
When it is due already, then you should distribute it there, there and then. However, it will be advisable for you to relocate if you want to earn the reward of distribution in Ramadan. Brothers or anybody want to distribute in Ramadan, do so, because the nafil action in Ramadan has been classified as being rewarded like the faraz. And the faraz has been elevated and boosted to 70 plus, exceeding right way up to 700. Therefore, people generally want to give out their sadaqah, their charities, their lillah and their zakat in the month of Ramadan, hoping that they will be rewarded 70 or to 700 fold. So that brother, first of all, when zakat is due, it's supposed to be given. But if he wants to reallocate or relocate it to Ramadan, then that can be done also.
Alright, Jazakallah Mufti Saab. To the listeners, we are happy we're having the question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Saab. If you have any questions, you can SMS us the questions and the SMS number is 082-580-8070. I repeat, the SMS number is 082-580-8070 and the number to call is 011-854-1548, and the brothers inshallah behind the screen will type the questions out. The next question is, Salams, do you get a sin if a work colleague does not talk to you, Mufti Saab, who is a non-Muslim, even if you tried?
Work colleague, remember that qat'i ta'alluq, severing of relationship, etc., those hadiths are pertaining and concerning and rotating and relating to Muslims, that the Muslims should not severe relationship with another for more than 3 days. But in a working relationship where there are Muslims and those who are disbelievers, one should be cordial, hospitable, and with the akhlaq and with the character and personality, display the beauty of Islam, and just by the character, propagate and preach Islam by the goodness of personality. Now, if a colleague who is not a believer does not want to talk to you and he wants to cut relationship, then you should not worry about this seriously. And if this troubles you, that you should be happy that a person upon whom the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is staying far from you, and you are fortunate.
Alright, JazakAllah Krishna for that question. And we have another question with regards to breaking family ties. We'll come back to that. But the one question is, Krishna, do you pay zakat on the cost or selling price on goods?
This masala about cost and selling price comes up every year, and every year people want to debate about it, argue about it. And in our book, we have translated a book. It is called Zakat in Detail. Originally is by Maulana Rafat Qasimi, wherein he has compiled the fatwas from various fatwa kitabs, and in it it is stated that you should take the market related value of your merchandise and goods and then give out your zakat on that.
Alright, JazakAllah. So the brother has a second question. It says, if you're working for a boss, can you do a budget credit card transaction when you have no choice?
It is permissible.
It is permissible. Coming to the computer screen, the next question is, under what circumstances in the Shari'at are we allowed to break family ties, Mukhisar?
First of all, to break family ties unnecessarily, it is absolutely disgusting and earning of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is stated that on the auspicious night, the person who severs family ties, his du'as are not accepted and he is not forgiven. However, that if a person, for example, he is your relative or your close second kin, is involved in something that is absolutely haram, for example, that the person is involved in gambling or alcoholism or in drugs or is engaged in adultery, fornication, or that he is now tendency of holding beliefs of kufr and is involved in the acts of shirk or is involved and steeped in innovation and bidah, then in by way of admonition to that person, one can stay away from that person. Also, for example, if you have got a family member and you generally meet with those family members, but you have got children who are young, etc., and in that family member's house, the akhlaq is bad, character is bad, personality is horrendous, and they have got television there, which is evil, and they are always looking at nudity and pornography, and they are engaged in gossiping and backbiting, fighting and quarreling, and, or they are engaged in the acts of shirk and kufr and bidah, then it is permissible to stay away from such a family.
All right, JazakAllah for rectification. The next question is, Mufti Sahab, Assalamu alaikum, are Muslims allowed to attend non-Muslim funerals? Please explain.
The Muslims, we are unique and we have got our own methods. Those who don't believe, they have got their own system, culture, civilization. They have got their own methods. To us, our ways, to them, their ways. We should not be attending their ways, and we should not be condoling for their ways, and we should not be encouraging our presence in their ceremonies, their functions, their festivities. Therefore, the Muslim should not be attending their funeral processions, proceedings, invitations, ceremonies.
All right. So the next question is, we expected this question to come up with regards to Yasser Arafat, who passed away. The question is Yasser Arafat's funeral be conducted according to Islamic Shariat?
I do not know how they're going to conduct the funeral, first of all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his condition best.
True.
We are not in a position to judge whether this person, his condition, what is his iman condition, whether he was a Muslim, whether he is a Muslim, whether he died as a Muslim, however, we can hope that he passed away as a Muslim, and we are not in a position to make any judgment until we have details, and we have minute details in front of us, then we can make some decisions or pass any rulings. To him rest his issues and matters. We should now focus, and we should be always focused on what is happening to us, what is our state of iman, and will we die as Muslims?
Yes, definitely. Mr. Jazakallah for the clarification, and very important as to what you said, but the brother wants to know the masala. What happened is that the French army helicopter took Yasser Arafat's janazah, the body, from the Paris hospital. From there, they took it to Cairo. Tomorrow, the janazah namaz will be performed in Cairo, and he'll be buried only on Sunday in Ramallah. So the janazah procedure, is it according to Sharia? That's what the brother wants to know.
That is definitely not according to Sharia. Because the hadith is very clear, and you know it also, that you should make quick in the various matters, in three matters. And one of those three matters is that as soon as someone dies, that hasten to bury that person. And when the salat time comes, that hasten to perform it. And when someone becomes baligh, hasten to marry them off.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is, Mufti Saab, we sometimes receive SMSs with pictures of inanimate objects. Is it permissible to rotate such messages?
No. Inanimate objects, obviously, that we are going to be aiding the transmission of tasweer or photographs, and definitely this is not permissible.
Alright, the next question is, via SMS salams, is medical aid allowed in Islam?
Those medical aids, especially that give you back your premiums and dividends, if you do not utilize them, that will be permissible. And some ulama are even saying that due to the deteriorating medical facilities which are available in the government premises and which are deteriorating day by day, unfortunately, due to that circumstantial situation and reason, will allow the medical aid to a certain extent.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah. The next question is to the listeners, before we come to the questions, to the listeners, inshallah. The SMS number is 0825808070, and the number to call is 0118541548 to lodge any questions. The next question is, salams, what is the ruling with regards to someone who breaks their fast without any valid reason during the day of Isab? What happens to him? What is the masala?
The person who breaks the fast without any shari valid reason is in big trouble. Because, first of all, that person will have to keep the qaza and also the kafara. Now, the qaza, we understand, is very simply that you keep one fast for one fast. But this person who broke he fast without any shari valid reason, he will have to keep. He can do either three things. One, to free a slave, even if that be a non-Muslim. If he cannot do that, obviously, then he has to fast 2 months without leaving one day as a gap. Therefore, that person will not fast during the month wherein there is Eid, Ulada, or the Ayam al-Tashriq. Then, if one cannot do that, then one will have to feed 60 poor persons, hungry persons, 2 meals. Condition is that the poor people must be the same person for both the meals, otherwise the kafara will not be fulfilled. And if you cannot do that, then feed one person for 60 days, 2 meals a day. It is not permissible to give one person on one day the food of 60 days or its price. Also, the condition is that the one whom you feed must be hungry. For non-hungry people, obviously eat less than those who are hungry. Or to give each of the 60 persons one sa' of meat, of wheat, or one sa' of wheat flour, or one sa' of wheat porridge, or one sa' of date, or one sa' of barley or any other grain, or the price of one of the above, and one sa' is equal to $270, and $7.5 is equal to 87.48 grams. That is equal to 2.8125 troy ounces.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mufti Sahab. The next question is, Mufti Sahab, making the jinns, let's call it salams. What is the ruling on great walis and pious people summoning and making the jinns their slaves?
First of all, that in order to be classified as saint, it is not a precondition to be in control of some jinn. So, if there is a saint and if there is a wali, does not necessarily mean that a person is controlling jinnat. Because some people even are under the impression, if you must try this and question, that they think that when you have got the title of mufti, that you have got some jinnat under your control. This is absolutely baseless, vain, and this is due to utter ignorance. Now, the saint who does such an action, if he's a saint and he does such an action, then we are not in a position to know why he is doing such an action. However, as a rule, the fuqaha have written that to control jinnat and to bring them under your jurisdiction, this is not conducive to healthy living between the humans and the jinnat, and it should be abstained from, and it is not an action that is encouraged, let alone the common men, even these saintly and pious ones, should know that this is no act of piety to control and to dictate to the jinnat what to do.
The next question is it permissible to have a nikah in Ramadan?
It is absolutely permissible to have a nikah whilst fasting, that means in Ramadan. So the nikah can be performed in the state of fasting or after the iftari. However, that the consummation of the nikah, if it is performed during fasting, will have to be done after iftari. If it is going to be done whilst they are fasting, then obviously they are going to be responsible for qaza and kafara, and a person, he can take certain amount of benefit from his wife after performing of nikah in the state of fasting, but no consummation will be allowed whilst fasting.
Alright, JazakAllah. So the next question pertains to iddat. Can a woman change houses where she is passing her iddat to spend the balance of her iddat in somebody else's house?
Every case will have a different ruling, because sometimes the fuqaha have ruled changing of iddat place if, for example, the first place of iddat becomes hazardous for life, becomes a life-threatening area, becomes a place where definitely the life will be jeopardized, and it becomes a place of riot and strife, or it becomes a place where there is going to be a high risk of robbery, theft, murder and breaking, etc., then the fuqaha will give permission. However, in these cases, it will be absolutely necessary to consult with a righteous, pious alim so he can make a valid, proper, reliable decision, case for case, circumstances for circumstances.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mr. Can one read Salah in Quran without a topi, Mr.?
The Salah and Quran.
Ji.
Every action in Islam is full of respect. And Islam is a deen of mannerism. Islam is a deen of modesty. Islam is a deen of haya. Islam is a cultured deen. Islam is a civilized deen. Islam teaches one ethics and mannerism to the highest level. Islam teaches us that we should respect and show respect. And the Quran Kareem is definitely the shiar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a sign of Islam. It is a sign and symbol, a chief characteristic of Islam. And the sign should be definitely respected. It comes clear in the Quran Kareem that those who show respect to the shiar of Allah, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ. They are amongst those who do this because they have got piety in their heart, righteousness in their heart. So, recitation of Quran al-Kareem, the Kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah, the Kitab of Allah, should be done with utmost respect and mannerism. And how can we do that without covering our head? That even when we go into the toilet, we're supposed to be covering our head. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, and the quotation is in Hayatul Sahaba, he says, I feel shy for my Rabb that when I go to the toilet, I cover my head. That means that at all times, a practical, righteous Muslim should be one who is covering the head. And a book has been written on this called Crown of the Believers. First person should try to get this, where all the hadiths concerning the various types of hats Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore, the colors, the variations, the cloth, the structure, and the makeup, and the design, all that has been detailed properly. It is becoming of a Muslim that he should be wearing a hat and going before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and making salat. And definitely a person should cover the head. A person, when he goes to the judge, he will dress properly and he will not dress atrociously. Yeah, we wait before the judge of judges. We should be clad properly. And this is part of mannerism and ethics, that we should cover our heads, even out of salat, let alone in salat.
All right, Mr. Jazakallah, we go to the next question on SMS. It is it correct that women shouldn't read nafal namaz before the men have read Eid Salah?
As far as this is concerned, then I have not seen anything stipulating that they cannot do so. However, that as for the moment, we will say that there is no clear-cut restriction for this. But people may make analogy that since the men folk are not allowed to make any nafil salat before the Eid salat, so the women folk also should take benefit from this and not make any nafil salat.
All right. So the next question the sister wants to know is, what is sunnah for women to do on Eid morning?
For them, obviously, is to perform, first of all, their Faraz Salat, and also make some zikr. All this is, the Faraz Salat is Faraz. Besides this, there is no sunnah stipulated for the ladies.
Jazakallah to the listeners, inshallah, Allah is tomorrow afternoon between 2:30 and 4:00. We're going to be discussing everything about Eid, inshallah. The next question is, Mufisab, on the day of Eid, Jinga and prawns is on the menu, which is makruh. Please advise.
On Eid day, that is the menu. Now, before I answer that, our Monana has stated that tomorrow is the discussion between 2:30 and 4 on Eid. Then my advice is that please listen, because the Eid only comes twice a year, and many times we even forget what we're supposed to be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing, and also we forget how to perform our Eid Salat, and we forget the virtues of the Eid night even. So I would request and make appeal that please try to listen in so that we can benefit. As far as the frauds are concerned, then that this is our view and this is our research, that as far as we are concerned, that it is permissible without any karahat, without any detestment, to eat frauds.
Jazakallah, Mustafa, made many people happy tonight.
We can invite you, inshallah.
Inshallah. The next question is, Muftisab, what should one do in a hotel room where there is a Bible kept?
Where in a hotel room where a Bible is kept, that you got no relationship directly with that, but they regard it as their kitab. We should not damage anybody's property, especially because this is not our property, and you can leave it where it is. And you should not get into trouble by doing anything. Leave it there, and you carry on staying in that room.
All right. the next question which pertains to Eid, and the sister says, Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible to go to the zoo lake on Eid day? If not, how do we put an end to this immoral gathering of Muslims every Eid day? Jazakallah, anonymous sister.
Any gathering where Muslims gather, irrespective of whether it is this lake or that lake, whether it is around this corner or that corner, whether it is front of this restaurant or whether it is front of that cafe, whether it is in this alley or that park, whether it is in this backyard or that recreation center, Muslims must realize something, that we are Muslims. Our way of living is different. Our talking is different. Our dressing is different. Our behavior is different. Our character is different. And especially our joyous occasion, we spend it differently. Our joyous occasion is not dancing, music, nudity, pornography. Our joyous occasion is not drugging and alcoholism, not smoking, and not running around loose. Our joyous occasion is not immorality and immodesty. Our joyous occasion is not gathering and intermingling of sexes, photography, and our joyous occasion is not where we go and become like animals and monkeys jumping around. Our joyous occasion is definitely not the dressing up that all the parts of the body are revealed. Our joyous occasion is not where females wear transparent clothing and displaying their fineries. This is completely haram, un-Islamic. One should set an example and talk to those who are accustomed to go to these evil places, these erroneous areas, and dressing futilely. We, first of all, can do various things. Number one, that we ourselves must not go. Number two, that if we know that our relatives and our friends are going, then explain to them rationally, logically, in the eyes of Quran and Hadith, that we should not be going and doing those activities. Thirdly, that we should be making dua for those people who go there and who disgrace Islam and who embarrass Muslims. And can you imagine that people looking at the Muslims behaving atrociously, what they may be thinking about Islam? Is this Islam? Is this the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we should be cautious that how are we going to answer before Allah Ta'ala? How are we going to face Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How are we going to go in the grave, that when we behave so badly and we behave so atrociously and putridly, and we perpetrate the last sin in those evil gatherings and congregations? So we should definitely abstain from going there ourselves and forbid what is evil from all platforms.
All right, Mr. Jazakallah, the next question is, what is the masala regarding first Eid? Example, if someone passed away and it's the first Eid. Jazakallah.
This is an important question that people, unfortunately, have not understood the spirit of Sharia. Sharia says that mourning period is 3 days. And this means that a person is allowed in the spirit of Sharia that to mourn and to cry and to be sorrowful of grief for 3 days. And Allah is our maker, Allah is our creator, Allah knows us, and Allah knows that a human being, after 3 days, he can carry on with his life and he can brace the world, and he can go forth and progress, and he can also cope with the situation after 3 days. So after 3 days, the person must go forward with life. And when there is the Eid that comes, there is no celebration, or there is no grieving, or there is no official sorrow, and there should be no innovations taking place. That in some places, unfortunately, I have been informed that on the Eid table, they leave one chair even, and they say that the soul of our father, the soul of our mother, the soul of our deceased comes there. This is absolutely false, erroneous, baseless, and no proof in Sharia. They even, in some places, cook the meal that the deceased likes, and they say that, and they keep an empty chair, and they keep a plate, and they dish out the food. And they say that the soul is going to come to partake. This is completely haram. This is baseless. This is a gross, misleading activity which we should abstain from. And in fact, what we're supposed to be doing during that time, that, yes, this is the first Eid that our father or mother has passed away. We should try to unify the family and bring the joyous occasion of Eid in front. And, yes, make dua for the person who has passed away. We are not saying that forget those who have passed away. Make dua. And also, it is not proven that to go to the graveyard during Eid day.
All right, so the last question for tonight's program is, it's already time of Assalamu alaikum Adanas. If a family member, example, one's brother or sister, has slandered one and accused one, should one confront him or her to sort it out or just overlook and carry on normal? And what happens if that person is a liar, a deceiver, and a tale carrier, Muftisab?
So I think, inshallah, this is the last question for our Ramadan session, Mullah.
Jee, Muftisab, it's come to an end. But inshallah, next week you'll be with us again, Muftisab, on Tuesday night.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
You'll know what to give us some off, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah. Now, this question is an important question. And it's a sad question that we have to terminate our discussion with this. But it is a reality that unfortunately, in every family, and in every extended family, we have members that are liars, and deceivers, and gossipers, and slanderers.
Mm.
And my advice is that if you are able to confront the person and sort the matter out, but before you do that, you should have all your facts in front of you, and you should not be a weak person. And you should be a strong, firm person if you are to confront the issue. And you must have your documents, or shall I say, all your ducks in line before you go into this war zone. And when you do so, then you have to catch the bull by the horns and address it firmly, sternly. And then, once you take on the battle, you'll have to go till the hilt and sort it out. If you are not prepared to do all that, then let it die. However, be careful and cautious. And if you want to sort it out, then you should do it properly, approach the person, and then have witnesses. Do not go and do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because inevitably, if you were to go and sort such a problem out, and the person is a confirmed liar, he will lie about you coming to him too.
Mm-hmm.
And you should go with witnesses who are influential. And you should go with witnesses who are strong and who can delay and transmit the correct thing also. Then you'll be able to sort it out. Otherwise, it is better to leave it alone and make dua for that person.
You know, from the heart we say Jazakumullah for all your help, for all your time, for your commitment during the month of Ramadan, inshallah. It honestly helped one and all a great deal. As a Mufti Sahab, on behalf of Radio Islam, myself and all our listeners, inshallah, we take this opportunity of saying Jazakumullah to you, of thanking you wholeheartedly from the bottom of our heart and souls for all the help you rendered. And may Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala reward you, inshallah, and your family. In both the worlds, Allah give you good health, inshallah. And Mufti Sahab, honestly, we really enjoyed the programs a lot. And, you know, by the way, we're still waiting for the jinga in the front down with Mufti Sahab.
Inshallah, and I really appreciate that we had a good team, and alhamdulillah, with you, the anchor, and Malaga Peer Ali, and I hope he got his hat on, and all the others who came in, and the engineers, alhamdulillah. For me, all these sessions are revision, and it also updates me and keeps me so-called on my toes. I really appreciate it, being with you all, although sometimes we did start 1-2 minutes late. I'm a person very particular about time. However, all said and done, we request that you make us maaf and all those whom we answered questions to, that if we have hurt them in any way, remember that if I have done that is grossly, unintentionally, not intentionally. And when it comes to the Sharia, then we have to be saying what is the truth and not shying away from taking a firm stand.
All right, Mr. Jazakumullah, Allah keep us all here. Mr. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.